It's Your Money with the investor coach, Paul Nichols, the show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about the traditional financial planning model. Paul believes education plus understanding leads to clarity and confidence that can and will lead to peace of mind. He uses simple solutions grounded in academic research from leading financial minds at Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and the University of Chicago, including several Nobel laureates. You do not need to know everything if you have an investor coach teaching you the few right things. Paul Nichols is the president of Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisor. He is a member of the National Ethics Bureau, the Better Business Bureau, and a member of Strategic Coach. Get ready for some common sense clarity coaching with the investor coach, Paul Nichols.
Good morning, boys and girls. I hope this finds you well. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, and it is Saturday morning, 9 a.m., time for It's Your Money, the financial radio show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. The Coach's Corner, which airs every Saturday morning from 9 till noon, is kicked off with our show, It's Your Money. You know, we named that show a couple years ago, It's Your Money, with the focus of trying to really hone in on one of our core principles, that being education. We believe education plus understanding leads to clarity and confidence that can result in peace of mind. You know, knowledge is power. We believe you don't need to know everything if you have a coach teaching you the few right things. And, you know, today, I recorded this yesterday, so it is a beautiful Saturday morning in central Pennsylvania. How glorious it is to see a beautiful Saturday here, you know, with the amount of sunshine we get, which I believe I've read in the past, it's about 170 days a year. Out of 365, we can, what is that, 40% sunshine roughly? It is always great to have a glorious, beautiful day like today. And I'm sure that many of you are out taking care of errands, the spring cleaning, you know, getting the rake fixed and the wheelbarrow and start thinking about spring flowers. Of course, I guess that's a little ways off, isn't it? We still got it. You know, here I am. I'm wanting it to be summer, but spring starts next year. My name's Paul Nichols. I'm your host. I'm known as the Investor Coach. We've been doing this show a couple years. It's a syndicated radio show. You can catch rebroadcast of the shows on iTunes. We put them on every week. You can just go to iTunes.com. Whether you have an iPod or not, ladies and gentlemen, did you know that you can actually get on iTunes and listen to shows even though you're not downloading them to podcasts or to your actual iPod? You can also go to our website, Financial Abundance, Inc., that's INC, .com, where we have blogs that we post every week. We are the Channel 6 NBC investor coach locally for the local NBC affiliate, and we do coaching segments every week, and we also post those video coaching segments on our website, as well as the CDT, Center Daily Times. You can go on there, and we have a blog under Coach's Corner. Speaking of Coach's Corner, you know, we have Ken Pasch coming in after me. Ken always has some insightful and interesting stories and information to share in the area of leadership, unlocking your full potential, taking personal responsibility, these types of areas of personal growth. I always look at that as positive mental attitude type stuff. And, you know, it's always better to have a good attitude than a bad attitude, I guess. You know, life seems to be a little bit easier when you have a good attitude and kind of a I can and get it done type of get her done attitude. And Ken certainly helps propagate that whole area of thinking. And then afterwards, we have Brian Allen. Now, Brian's kind of a rookie. He's been doing this for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months now, maybe a few months, it seems like. Maybe it's been 6 months. And Brian Allen with Capital Mortgage, he is a mortgage guru. He's also a big sports star for those of you that follow Penn State basketball. He used to be the captain of the Penn State basketball team back in the 80s. But anyway, Brian comes on and does a show about mortgage, mostly about mortgage stuff or you never know with Brian, I guess. He brings he has a whole plethora of different speakers and guests and people that come on talking about everything from social media to mortgages. And every so often, you're lucky enough to get Ryan Lowe, who comes on. He's a real estate guru here in town, here in State College. I always got to remember we're syndicated, so not everybody's here in town. And by the way, if you we get an awful lot of questions every week, whether it be through the WJACTV.com website, that's Channel 6 local NBC affiliate, or whether it's Financial Abundance. And you can go to either of those sites, and there's a place where you can ask the coach a question. So if you have a question, something that you're wondering about, information that we've covered on the radio show, or you hear on iTunes, or any of the coaching spots we do for NBC, then go ahead and fire us off, and we'll do our best I can to respond. I don't often do the radio show live, mainly because I have little kids, and I work Monday through Friday, and the show airs on Saturday, so I want to be with my children and my family on weekends. I believe if you can't get it done in 40 hours, you're not doing something right, although I have been known to work more than 40 on occasion. But I've been really working hard with almost 3-year-old and 4-year-old and a 13-year-old to really manage my time. Little kids, I often think, for those of you that have kids, it's always something. You got a mess you're cleaning up or something you're doing. My wife's a saint in that regard. It's interesting. When my 13-year-old was younger, I'm a little bit of a neat freak, not too crazy, but I like order. Obviously, it's hard to like order or have order when you're dealing with little kids. And, I often sit back and look at the mess sometimes and say, one of these days, it's not going to be here, and I'll wish that it is. And so isn't it interesting sometimes the way we think about things? Whatever it is. And you know what I want to do the rest of the segment here? Get off some personal stuff. And I want to do a market update. I haven't done a market update for a while. I'm going to go ahead and do a market update. And then the next couple segments, we're going to get into some long-term care information. There was a recent study done. It seems that very few people still understand this concept of long-term care. And I thought, with the health care bill vote looming, let's talk about something health care related. So we're going to talk a little bit about long-term care. There are some new tax deductibility things that I wanted to share with you, and also just kind of do a review of what long-term care is. But the rest of the segment here, let's talk about market update. Why do I do the market update? We do it occasionally. I try to do it every week. It gets away from me at least once a month to give people an idea of how the market's doing up to this point this year. We believe in modern portfolio theory, which basically speaks to the concept of diversification, that is dissimilar price movement. A great example of modern portfolio theory would be the understanding of owning not just an umbrella company, but also a suntan lotion company. So you want to own the entire marketplace, and you're not going to always own what's up. If you're going to have a well-diversified portfolio, practice an academic approach, which would include efficient market hypothesis, modern portfolio theory, and the three-factor model, which basically is the idea of diversification, understanding where returns come from, not beating the market, understanding fees are excessive when you actively trade, and just try to get the market as a whole. What we want to do is have a well-diversified portfolio that gives us the market return. In other words, we want whatever the market will bear, ladies and gentlemen, and unfortunately, sometimes we have a bear market. That's okay. We know that the market has a 2/3 bias. 2 out of 3 years is up. 1 out of 3 years is down. So when we look at the market, we want to look at the different indexes, or indice in plural, of the market as a whole, and that gives us an indication of how the market's doing, which in turn would tell us how our portfolio is doing if, in fact, we own the entire marketplace. Now, it's not very often that I find people do, because most people are pursuing active management, and if you'd like to learn more about that, go to iTunes or the website. But let's go ahead and talk about the Russell 2500 Index, which measures the performance of small to mid-cap companies. These would predominantly be growth small to mid-cap companies. How are they doing for the year? Well, so far they're up, and this is as of 3/16, so this would have been, Tuesday. This would have been of Tuesday. Russell 2500 was up 1.46%, so about a 1.5% small and mid-sized companies are up so far this year. Russell 2000, how's the Russell 2000, which measures small cap to micro cap companies? These would be small to very small companies. They're up about 0.5%, but we're in the positive, yay team. How about the Russell 2000 Value Index? It measures the performance of small cap value companies. Growth, you want to own growth companies, you want to own value companies. What's the difference? Well, a growth company would be a very strong, stable company. A large U.S. growth company would be Walmart. A good example of that, and maybe this example is getting old, I need to come up with a new one, would be Kmart. Kmart, we would consider a value company. They were distressed, an unexcellent company. They're not a bad company, but we should expect a higher risk premium, that is return, for investing in value companies over growth companies. We want to own them both. And in fact, historically, we see about a 1 to 3% risk premium, that is advance or gain over growth companies, about an average of about 1.3%, 1 to 3%. So value companies historically return about 1 to 3% higher than growth companies. Why didn't I say that the first time? I don't know. Russell 1000. So the Russell 2000 value, by the way, let me back up. Russell 2000 value, small cap, is about a 1.5%, about the same as the growth. So small growth and value are about 1.5 this up to this point in the year. Russell 1000 value measures the performance of large cap value. These would be large value companies, not small. And it's up about 0.25%. But again, we're in the black. Happy to see that. And then, of course, the S&P 500, which is widely regarded as the best single gauge of the U.S. equities market. This world-renowned index includes 500 leading companies in leading industries in the U.S., predominantly large U.S. growth companies, up 4.5%, 4.5%. So bravo, large cap companies. We're up 4.5%. Let's get into international, because international was the smoking asset class last year. We picked up about 90% in international, dealing in the small emerging markets, developed markets. This year, it's not doing quite as well. But it's still in the positive, except for one area. So let's start with the Morgan Stanley Capital International World Index. This would be a weighted index that is designed to measure the equity performance of developed markets. These countries would include just a smattering: Australia, Belgium, Denmark, Norway, Portugal, Switzerland, UK. And they are up about 2.125%, about 2.15%. for this year. So the developed international countries are doing well. And by the way, there's only 38 international countries that you can invest in that have property rights, have stock markets, and so on. The majority of those would be developed, but then you fall into another group internationally, which would be emerging markets. The Morgan Stanley Capital International Emerging Markets Index is a weighted index that measures emerging markets like Chile, Colombia, Hungary, Korea, Malaysia, Morocco. It's up about 20 basis points, or 0.2%. And then we fall off at the end with our Morgan Stanley EAFE, which would be Europe, Australia, and the Far East. And this basically measures the equity performance of developed markets, including U.S. and Canada, and it's up about negative 2.0%. So when we look at the market overall, I would say U.S. large is the leading asset class so far this year. Right behind that would be small growth and value. Behind that would be international, and then we get into, I guess, the lowest asset class right now besides the EAFE, U.S. would be the large value. So overall, the market's up. This is positive. We're almost done with the first quarter of the month here in a couple weeks. And so far, we see positive growth. Yay, team. We're excited about that. But really, if you don't own the entire market, ladies and gentlemen, if your portfolio is like most portfolios that I analyze and I see predominantly U.S. large, well, you're catching it because it's up right now. But what are you missing? Diversification, modern portfolio theory, efficient market hypothesis, the three-factor model, 50 years of academic and scientific research from Nobel laureates and professors from many Ivy League and notable institutions, including the University of Chicago, which has created more Nobel laureates in economics than any other institution in the world, all subscribe to the fact that the market's efficient. We want to own it as a whole, not try to beat it, get what it'll bear. Sometimes we have a bull, sometimes we have a bear. We have to deal with it. So anyway, Paul Nichols, Market Update. I'm the Investor Coach. You're listening to It's Your Money. We'll be right back. Is your financial advisor putting his money where his mouth is? Too many financial advisors tell their clients to buy investments that they would never invest in themselves. In fact, Morningstar has revealed that only 47% of U.S. stock fund managers personally own the funds they manage. More than half of the fund managers don't even invest their own money in the funds we're supposed to put our life savings in. Is the story same for the person who's giving you your investment advice? Ask your financial advisor if he has invested his own money in the same funds he has told you to buy. At Financial Abundance, we personally own the very same investments we are recommending to our clients. That's how we've done it for years. So you can see why we are so motivated to help our clients succeed. Because when our clients succeed, so do we. So call us at 814-867-5745 and see how we can help you. That's 814-867-5745. Or visit our website, financialabundanceinc.com. Welcome back to the show. This is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. I hope this finds you well. It is Saturday morning and time for It's Your Money, the financial show that pulls back the curtain on financial issues and exposes the truth about money and investing. You know, that is the goal of all of the shows that you hear that are part of Coach's Corner, Saturday morning lineup. And in fact, I noticed that AJ had put some programming on before that kind of do-it-yourself. So it seems like the whole Saturday morning lineup is in the area of educating, informing, instructing, helping people get coached up in different areas. So I hope that you appreciate the programming that WBLF brings you here every week and WEEO in Chambersburg because we all collectively work hard to produce something of value, something that enriches your life. You know, I hate to spend time watching, reading, doing anything to be disappointed that it was a waste of time. So hopefully that's never the feeling that you have whenever you listen to our show, especially. And, you know, unlike a lot of financial shows that are hawking, pitching, pimping, and constantly trying to sell stuff, we really work hard to educate. We believe you don't need to know everything if you know the few right things, especially if you have a coach helping you. And, you know, it doesn't matter what area of your life, I believe coaching has value, obviously in sports. And what is a teacher but a coach, you know, a pastor, a rabbi? You know, all coaches, all form of coaching, spiritually, academically, physically, personal trainers. So the whole concept of coaching is that we get people to maybe think a little differently than they have before, get people to realize they have more potential, think outside the box. This is why the name of my company is Financial Abundance. I believe in abundance. I'm an abundant thinker. Let's talk a little bit about long-term care today. That's a nice segue, hey? An abundance into long-term care. And I've got a smattering of information I want to share with you today in the area of long-term care. This is something that I'm passionate about. And I'm gonna give you my little pitch, if I may, today as it relates to long-term care. Many years ago, my grandmother had ended up with dementia, later Alzheimer's. About 4 years before she had passed away, my grandfather had spent all his assets, and she had gone on Medicaid. He had actually worked out a deal with a gentleman who owns the property next to him. He lives in Hawkins, Texas, which is by Tyler, Texas, a little plot of ground there with the trailer on it. And he had sold that piece of property to the neighbor with the intent that he could live there until he passed away. And what he was trying to do was take that money and keep my grandmother in private care as long before she went on to Medicaid and qualified for Medicaid. And the interesting thing is, this was many years ago, I watched all this take place, and I started realizing, you know, this is a pretty serious issue for baby boomers. And obviously, my grandmother would not be a baby boomer. She'd be whatever the generation is before the baby boomers. But the point is, I started realizing, boy, this is going to be a massive issue. Now, one of the things about long-term care is there's several ways to deal with it. And I'm going to give you four or five ways that I know of to handle long-term care occurrence, that is, the need for care. You know, here's my philosophy on this. I don't really care how my clients handle it, but we've got to discuss it. We've got to talk about it, and we've got to come up with some kind of idea of how we're going to deal with it, whether it be family, Medicare, Medicaid, insurance, paying out of your pocket, whatever it is, so that you're not blindsided. One of the things I've noticed in working with seniors, 90% of my clients are over 50. I would say 80% are over 60. I used to volunteer at retirement communities. All this came from this experience I had lived through with my grandmother and saw, at the end of her, I don't want to get into the negative part, but it wasn't a positive experience toward the end when we didn't have money to pay for her care. She wasn't getting the kind of care we would have liked her to get, but that's all she had access to. But that's another story. I don't want to get into the doom and gloom of not planning, but I'll tell you that if you're not proactive, my friends, you're going to be reactive. There's no way around it. Whether you make a decision to pursue anything in your life, a degree, I want to get the car fixed, I want to put a new roof on, whatever it is, okay? If you decide to put that off, then you've made a decision not for it. Now, I don't like to be quite as black and white, but in this area, you really have to think about it. And denial is not a river in Egypt, okay? Denial is a serious issue, and I'll tell you that we see it more with men than women. Guys, hey, tough guys, come on, all right? I've heard all kinds of stuff, guys. I've had guys tell me, well, when it gets that bad, I'll go out in the backyard and shoot myself. Okay, well, if that's your plan, let's go ahead and get that down. Let's decide when that's going to happen, what occurrences are going to trigger that. I mean, come on, let's not fake ourselves out here. We got to be real about this situation. It is the number one reason people are wiped out financially. It's the number one reason for depression amongst the unpaid caregiver, and it's a serious issue. A little bit of proactive planning, ladies and gentlemen, and you don't have to think about it. I'll guarantee you that most people spend time who don't have this as they get older, more time thinking about it than it's certainly worth, and certainly a lot more time thinking about it than it takes to really plan for it. So let me coach you up a little bit in this area. I'm a realist in everything I do. I'm not necessarily a Kool-Aid drinker. I want to understand why things are the way they are, and then I look at things and say, how can we hedge our bet? How can we put ourselves in a position where it makes sense to cover this, but not to the point where we begrudgingly have a bill that gets our blood pressure up every time it comes in? So this long-term care issue, let's talk a little bit about it, and I'm going to read some stats to you, because this is an important issue, especially with this looming healthcare debate. I don't know what's going to happen with this healthcare thing. Let me give you my little two cents on this, if I may, though. I don't care which side you're on. Whether you're on the left or the right or whatever, I would encourage you, whatever side you're on, to call the opposite side's representatives and let them know how you feel. If you are for the healthcare plan, then you should be calling your Republican representatives and say, hey, what's going on? Or your Democrat if they're not. If you're on the other end and you're against it, which seems to be the, at least what I'm reading and seeing, it seems to be more people are against it than for it. I don't know, I haven't read it yet. It just came out yesterday, so we'll see what happens. I don't like the idea of, let's not get into it. All my point is, ladies and gentlemen, don't sit there and complain and moan and, have your coffee and kind of bitch to your friends and not do anything about it. If you're going to complain and carry on about something, then do something about it. Pick up a phone, call the representative on the other side and voice your opinion, or email the representative. You got to get involved, ladies and gentlemen. We can't just complain and point the finger. Every time we point the finger at someone else, we got three fingers pointed back at us. So let me encourage you to get involved. Again, whatever your belief is, whatever you feel like, this is the most passionate debate and passionate issue that I've seen in my life. I'm 45 years old, and, since I was in my teens, I've followed politics. I've always found them to be interesting. I've met a number of the presidents. I've met Reagan. I met Bush number one from some other business dealings I've had in the past. And I'll tell you that you got to get involved. You can't just point the finger. So anyway, long-term care. Long-term care. What is it? Well, it's basically a plan, long-term care plan or long-term care planning, to take care of you in the event that you need care long-term. Now, the likelihood is very high. The fastest-growing age group is 90 to 94-year-olds. I know some of you out there say, well, wait a minute, Paul. We live a long time. People in our family live to 90, 100 years old. We don't need long-term care. Well, my friends, I used to feel the same way until I've spent a lot of time doing this and volunteered at Valley View in Belleville. I used to volunteer at River Woods in Lewisburg. And I'll tell you that what's interesting about long-term care is it's not for people that drop dead. It's for people that linger. It's for people that don't give up the ghost, so to speak. Okay? So it's oftentimes the guy that says to me, well, I live to be 90, 100 years old in my family. I said, well, geez, you know, basically 3 out of 10 people drop dead, 7 linger. You think long-term care insurance is for the 3 that drop dead? No, it's for the people that linger, the people that hang on, the people that don't want to give it up. So how do you handle it? Care is very expensive. Obviously, we're having this huge debate over that issue. I heard some politicians say it was 1/6 of our budget. I don't know if that's the, or 1/6 of our total economy. I don't know if that's the case or not. I know it's huge. But long-term care, obviously, insurance is expensive. Care is expensive. So how do you handle it? Well, there's basically 5 ways to handle it. 1, pay out of your pocket. Well, if you don't have insurance, that's what you're forced to do. 2, family. Now, family is going to help anyway. If you have kids or siblings or whatever that might come in and help, they might come in and visit or bring meals or come to your house and do some stuff or help out, that type of stuff. You know, some people, I've heard women, I've had this said to me more than once, a number of times. I've had women say, well, I took care of those kids for 30, 40 years. They can take care of me now. Well, that's fine. Okay, if that's your plan, that's cool. Just, you know, let's get it documented. Let's be realistic about it. Remember the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not fake thyself out, and if you do, shame on you. The question I would have is, which of the children do you want giving you, bathing you? Which of the children might you have assisting you with, you know, soil changes and this type of stuff? Look, it's a matter of dignity. Come on, let's get real about it. That's not realistic. If the kids can make meals, come in and help out, and that's wonderful, okay? So pay for it is one, out of pocket, kids. Help out. Medicare. Medicare will pay up to 100 days potentially for long-term care. Not that many people qualify for it because there's 3 prerequisites. 1, you have to have a 72-hour hospital stay. 2, you have to go from a hospital to a facility, not to home care, but to a facility. And 3, you have to be rehabilitatable. So if you can get the Medicare and they offer it, that's wonderful. Great. Now, your health care is normally going to drop off if you have an occurrence after you get done with some kind of therapy. Long-term care is defined as more than 90 days. You'll expect it, and you are expected to recuperate or to improve. So it's expected you'll need care for more than 90 days, and you have 2 of the 6 activities of daily living that you need help with. These would be bathing, dressing, toileting, continence, eating, transferring. I have found in my experience if people have a deficit in one of those areas, they'll probably have it in a couple areas. That is a definition of long-term care. More than 90 days, a deficit, or need help with 1 or 2 of the 6 activities of daily living. So how do we handle it? You can pay out of pocket. You can have family help, maybe Medicare. Medicaid is a different animal. Now, Medicaid, you have to spend your assets down. There is a partnership program that helps you shelter your assets now by buying long-term care. But I've never understood people that planned for Medicaid planning, and I don't understand advisors that do it either, personally, because here's my feeling on long-term care. And by the way, so I can get into this, before I get into this, the 5th way is insurance. So pay out of pocket, family, Medicare, Medicaid, insurance. Let me talk about Medicaid for a moment. I've never personally understood why people would shelter assets in trusts, and there's different ways to do it, okay, to get to a point in their life where they've sheltered their assets for the benefit of their family and be at a point in their life where now they're not in control. Let me tell you what I've learned in volunteering at communities and dealing with long-term care for many, many years. It's how I originally got in the business. It's not about the care, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about the asset protection. It's not about not burdening your family. Those are all reasons to do long-term care planning. Let me tell you something. Let me be very, very direct and candid with you. Ladies and gentlemen, listen up here for the next minute. Let me tell you where the issue lies, and it lies in the area of control. I will tell you, in the time that I've interviewed and talked to hundreds, maybe thousands of people and volunteered at communities, control is the only thing that matters. Has your health ever failed? I had an operation a few years back for sleep apnea surgery, and I'm a tough guy, alpha male, sports, military, whole thing, okay? And I took off a Monday and Friday, figured I'd be, it was an outpatient surgery, I'd be back to work the next Tuesday. Ladies and gentlemen, was I wrong? I was on taking pain medication, some pretty heavy duty stuff, and I didn't go back to work for 10 days. I never felt more vulnerable in my life. I never felt more frustrated, almost depressed. And I, for the first time in my life at about 41, 42 years old, realized what people as they get older must feel like as their health starts to fail, as the cognitive faculties start to slow down, how you can't quite make decisions the way you used to make. Ladies and gentlemen, it is about one issue in my life, in my opinion, as it relates to life and long-term planning, and that is control. I'll be doggoned if this guy right here, Paul Nichols, is ever going to relinquish control, especially at a point in my life when I'm going to feel the most vulnerable. Look, let me tell you something. The guy that's not in control, here's what you're going to hear. What do we do with mom? What do we do with dad? Brother, that's not going to happen to me. My kids are never going to have that conversation. What are we going to do with dad? What are we going to do with mom? Hey, brother, I'm right here. I'm not third party. I'm in control here. And I put myself in control by doing some proactive planning. So I've never understood why somebody would shelter their assets, to relinquish control, to be a ward of the state, when normally they can take just a percentage of the growth of their assets by a long-term care policy and stay in control. So oftentimes I see, especially in this area, I don't see it amongst insurance. It's more the Pennsylvania Dutch, central PA influence. I don't see this in California, Texas, other parts of the country. I see it mainly here, this concept about insurance, okay? The idea of insurance is to protect yourself. Now, it's interesting, people own auto, home, and health insurance, but when it comes to long-term care, they start to rationalize. You cannot make a logical argument for the most emotional time, the most frustrating and potentially frustrating time in your life, ladies and gentlemen, that is when your health starts to fail. You want to stay in control. You don't want to give it up. So with that being said, I'm going to end the segment right here, and we're going to finish up on the other side. This is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. I'll be right back. Girls, ladies and gentlemen, I hope this finds you well. This is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. This is pre-recorded. You're listening to WBLF and WEEO. This is part of Coach's Corner. It's Your Money is the financial radio show that pulls back the curtain and exposes the truth about money and investing. We believe education plus understanding leads to clarity and confidence that can and will result in peace of mind. In a few minutes, Ken Pash at 10 a.m. will be starting his show, Unlocking Your Full Potential, and I'm sure he has some nuggets for you. Ken spends a lot of time preparing for his show. I think he spends more time than I do preparing. Of course, I'm preparing all week because I'm talking to people. But anyway, we are talking about long-term care, and I left off in the last segment simply talking about the concept of control. A lot of people miss this. They look at long-term care planning, and they look at it logically. They don't consider the emotion that's involved later on and how you're going to feel as your health fails and your cognitive faculties. I just notice as people get older, it takes them a little bit longer to make a decision and process things, and that creates frustration. And I'll tell you that control, to me, is paramount. Absolutely number one. Most important thing is control. And cash is king. So we're talking about five ways to handle long-term care. One is pay out of pocket. Two is incorporate some help from family. Three, Medicare if you can get it. Four, Medicaid, designed for the indigent, designed for the poor, or those that want to defraud the system and take advantage of the system by sheltering their assets. That is fraud, ladies and gentlemen, any way you look at it, in my opinion. When you're trying to shelter your assets so you qualify for Medicaid, which is for the poor and the indigent, that's fraud, okay? That's Paul's opinion. Take it or leave it. And then the fifth thing would be insurance. That would be having an insurance plan. Now, I encourage people, as it relates to long-term care planning, to use a combination of all of them. That is, rather than going out and get a Cadillac plan, you should get a smaller plan that's co-insured. So maybe it doesn't cover everything you need, but it covers the bulk of it. And if you need some more, you can reach into your bucket of cash that you saved and use some of that. So let me give you the moving parts as it relates to long-term care, and then I'm going to tie it off by giving you an idea of how to build it. I want to do this rather quickly because I want to get into some of the new numbers as it relates to deductibility and that type of stuff. So long-term care, five moving parts. The first moving part is daily max. How much does a plan pay per day? That could be $50 to $300 a day. You pick it. Right now, the cost varies, whether it's home care, assisted living, nursing homes, obviously the most expensive. So daily max is one thing you would pick. Number two would be the benefit multiplier. How much time? How many years might the plan pay for it? So the benefit multiplier and the daily max are time and money. So let's say you picked $100 a day and a three-year plan. That's the average care stay, about 3 years. You can get from two to unlimited amount of years, but I normally look at 3 or 4 years because that's the statistical average. So if you had $100 a day, is that what you picked? And then you picked 3 years, well, there's 1,095 days in 3 years. So you start off with a bucket of cash of $109,500. Do you see that? That's $100 a day times 1,095 days, which is how many days there are in 3 years. That's your bucket of cash. When you buy long-term care insurance, that's what you're buying access to, that bucket. You can use it for home care, home care, assisted living, nursing home, adult daycare, a whole array of different things, okay? So that's your bucket to start with. Now, if you want that bucket to increase every year with inflation, to keep up with inflation, you want to buy an inflation rider. That rider can vary anywhere from a 5% simple. So if you add $100 a day and your anniversary rolls around where you get an inflation increase, you bought that ahead of time, a 5% simple. So the next year you start at $105. Take the 105 times the amount of days you picked, and there's your bucket. It's bigger. If you pick compound, then it would be 5% compounded on the previous year. So daily max, how much the plan pays for day, benefit multiplier, how many years it pays, inflation rider, do you want 5% simple, 5% compound, or none? And there's some variances depending on companies in there, but you get the idea. The other one is the elimination period or deductible. The deductible period, the period of time that must go by before the plan kicks in. You know, on your auto, home, and health, it's normally a dollar amount. You have a $500 deductible, for example. Well, with long-term care, it's not a deductible of dollars. It's a deductible of time. You know, 90 days, 30 days, 60 days, 180 days. I normally encourage people to pick 90 days and play the odds. You know, if you do have an occurrence where Medicare might pick up some of it, great. But make sure that the long-term care provider will waive the elimination period for home care. So in other words, or have a rider to do it. So in other words, every day of care you have at home deducts from the overall elimination period, but home care kicks in day one. So for example, as long as you have 90 days of care at home and you had a 90-day elimination period, you never reach into your pocket because you were covered from day one for home care. And then if you go into a facility, it's satisfied. So how much the plan pays per day, how many years it pays it, inflation rider, what kind of time deductible, and then the last one, which everybody wants, unless you might be single or widowed, and that is home care. Most people want to stay at home. In fact, let me just segue and read this study to you, or pieces of it. This come from HomeWatch Caregivers. Business Wire is where I got this article. And this was, last year, December of last year. New study reports three times more people receiving healthcare support at home rather than in nursing homes or assisted living. According to the American Association for Long-Term Care Insurance, approximately 7.5 million individuals currently receive long-term care at home. That means nearly three times more people are receiving care at home than in a residential facility. And most people prefer to stay at home. In fact, some of the better companies have understood this and they really tailor the plans to be more conducive to staying at home and staying at home longer. It's clear that people in today's society prefer treatment for chronic conditions and issues related to aging in their home rather than a residential facility. There's a certain amount of finality I've noticed with people, myself included. If I was going to a facility, I'd be thinking, you know, this is kind of the final step. And again, that's where that emotion comes in, the wanting to be in control, not wanting someone else to call the shots for you. Unless you're cognitively impaired, then obviously you need someone to do that. According to the American Association for Long-Term Care Insurance, 8.25 million individuals presently have coverage, and more than 180,000 policyholders are currently receiving benefits. The study clearly indicates that individuals with long-term care insurance receive significantly more home care and thus stay home longer. So that's interesting. For those who are self-insured, paying out of pocket versus having an insurance plan, the people who have insurance plans stay home longer. And that makes sense because it speaks to the coordination of the care and the assistance that you get in coordinating all the care. The difference between the insured and the uninsured is significant. 70.6% of those covered received an average of between 5 and 7 days of care each week, while only 35% of those without insurance received similar care as often. Possessing insurance to pay part or all the cost of home care enables individuals to receive care at home for longer periods of time. The study found that 41% of those with insurance received care for longer than 1 year, compared to about 30% for those without coverage. Having sufficient financial resources for protection of long-term care is one of the prime factors that allows people to stay home longer, and also the coordination of the care. So obviously, having long-term care insurance, you have an advocate, hopefully your agent, along with the insurance company, that's going to help you remain in control and call the shots, give you more options. Because if you have a long-term care plan versus just paying cash, with the long-term care plan, you get some coordination, negotiation. The companies will tell you the providers you'd want to use. You can use any that you want, but they go through and screen all that. So you just have more options. Again, to me, it's all about control. Five moving parts: how much the plan pays per day, how many years it pays it, the inflation rider, the elimination period, which is a deductible time, and then does it cover home care? Now, for those of you who may not be aware of this, you can actually deduct long-term care premiums. I believe when I look at long-term care planning, again, I don't care how people handle it. A lot of advisors don't even pursue it aggressively. They don't really take the time to get people to realize how important it is. And the reason for that, and I'm going to be very candid with you, there's not much money in it. From a business perspective, it's a lot of paperwork. It's a lot of hassle. Not as many people get approved as we got approved 10 years ago. Your health needs to be better. And we can get anybody approved, but you're going to pay a little more. And they want the cream of the crop. But a lot of people just aren't, advisors aren't going to take the time to mess with it because it's just not very profitable for the time. It's very time intensive. But to me, it's absolutely paramount. It's the foundation of any plan, because by having that done, we know that nothing's going to sneak up on us later. We know we've had that covered. That's the biggest thing that could screw up our plan. We could go out and develop a wonderful income plan. We could go out and develop a great estate plan, estate transfer, look at taxes. We can do all kinds of cool stuff, academic investing in the market. We could set up this beautiful plan that's etched in stone, that's set, guaranteed predictable income stream, money growing, estate plan, transfer, all that. But if you don't plan for long-term care, ladies and gentlemen, my friends, you're going to have a rude awakening. Please don't let this happen. If you're 50 or older, be a little proactive. Give us a call. Call your agent. Call somebody. Get on the internet. Get educated. Knowledge is power. Make decisions based on quality information, not a feeling, okay? Let's make some logical decisions about an emotional area, but keep in mind that this area becomes very emotional. It is tax deductible. By the way, once again, if you have any questions for the coach, i.e. moi, feel free to check out the WJAC TV website or go to financialabundanceinc.com, and there's a place you can ask the coach a question. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Normally within a day or two, I answer most of those. If they're more in-depth and take some research, then I might need a little more time. So we are a resource. We put ourselves out there regularly to help people. And I'll tell you, a lot of that times, it's no revenue for me. You know, that's more of a pro bono. That's me giving back to the community, that type of stuff, helping people. Because a lot of the people that ask these questions that I get are people that normally would not go and get planning. Now, that's unfortunate, but they feel either they don't have the assets or they feel dumb about talking about this stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody's dumb about this stuff. Come on. I don't care whether you're a CEO of a company, because it's not your forte. Most of us are knowledgeable about our field of expertise. This is one of the things about an academic community that's always humored me a little bit. You get certain academics, and we're in Penn State here, you know, and I love academics. I've got a lot of clients, a lot of friends, neighbors, a lot of people involved with the university. But you get an academic whose specialty might be metallurgy. You know, it might be metals. And just because the guy's got a master's degree in metals, he thinks he knows everything else or feels compelled to have to know everything else. And let me let you off the hook. You don't need to. That's why you go to experts. You go to a plumber because you need plumbing advice. You go to a dentist because you need dental advice. You go to a doctor, you go to a mechanic, you go to an accountant, an attorney, a financial planner. Or in your case, you go to you when you want to learn about metals. Okay, so, you know, a lot of times I have more people apologizing about not understanding the industry if they only realize the industry is skewed against their education to start with, and that's exactly the position the industry wants you to be in. That's dumb and stupid. You don't have to be that way. You can get educated. Knowledge is power. But don't feel like, ladies and gentlemen, don't feel like, look, why do you go to people to get advice? Obviously, you don't know about it, so don't feel dumb when you come in asking questions. There's no such thing as a dumb question in an area that you don't understand. Ego, vanity, that's our downfall, power. It's like politics. Let me get on a rant here for a minute. Politics. Here's the problem. On the right, we got greed. On the left, we got power. That's the problem. It's never going to be fixed without term limits, tort reform, flat tax, a couple major changes. Nothing else is ever going to change because the left wants more power, the right wants more money. I mean, come on. It gets me so frustrated. Term limits. By the way, there's not a better time right now. There's never been a better climate in our country to start a grassroots movement towards serious term limits in this country. And if some of you are seriously interested in that, let me know. I'd like to know who's interested in jumping on this bandwagon and finding out whether I want to put some of my financial resources and time toward really pursuing something that we can pull off. How many of you agree with term limits? How many of you would like to see us pass it? Because I don't think we're ever going to see any type of serious, productive legislation in this country until we have term limits and get some of these career politicians out of there. I've never asked a politician about term limits that didn't disagree with it. They all disagree with term limits. It's ridiculous. Hey, listen, oh my God, I'm out of time. I got to run. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next week. I hope you enjoyed the show.
You borrowed money from your 401k or 403b? Big mistake. Never borrow money from your retirement plan, no matter what. Many people think it's harmless, but it's anything but. First of all, your money you borrowed isn't just borrowed. It's actually removed from the plan. That means your account won't grow as much as it would have. Second, you have to repay the loan, and that means you're paying taxes twice on the same money. So never borrow from your retirement plan, and if you have to pay it back right away. To learn more about investments, IRAs, retirement planning, mortgages, insurance planning, buying homes, eliminating non-preferred debt, and more, call Paul at Financial Abundance, 814-867-5745. Or check out their website, financialabundanceinc.com. You don't need to know everything if you have a coach teaching you the few right things. Call Paul at 814-867-5745.